Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Welcome once again to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You are listening to us on Home of Southern Sports, WQEE 99.1 FM out of Noonan. It is Wednesday. This is March Madness week, as this is one of my favorite times of the year. We had some play-in games last night, so we know that Wagner and Colorado State have advanced. Georgia gets a win in their NIT game. We did have some high school baseball on Georgia Alabama Sports Live, and we do have some NFL news as well to talk about. So let's go ahead and start the show. Later in the show, I'm going to have Tanya Chavez, as we are going to break down the bracket for March Madness, not only for the men, but for the women as well. But I do want to start with the local stuff. To the Chattahoochee Valley. You heard it on Georgia Alabama Sports Live last night. A big shout out to Rick Beach from Kutsu Sports for calling the Harris County Columbus game. Great win by Harris County, 10-0, as they are 4-10 overall. Columbus falls to 8-10. Some of the other games in high school baseball: Brookstone all over St. Mary's Academy, 19-0. They are 13-3 overall. And 3-1 in region play. We also had Shaw get the 20-1 victory over Hardaway on the road. Northeast defeated Kendrick 22-2. Northgate out of Noonan defeats Northside 8-3. And Glenwood over North Bay Haven Academy 12-0. Later on today, Harris County will take on Smith Station. Brookstone will be up in Atlanta taking on St. Mary's Academy. Carver on the road in Buena Vista taking on Marion County. Also, later today at the Beck Center, Thrift Behringer and I will be live at Pacelli for the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live show. You don't want to miss it. Let's go ahead and dive right into the show. We had a late night last night as we had some play-in games. Wagner gets the 71-68 victory over Howard. And Wagner, the number 16 seed, will take on North Carolina on Thursday at 2:45. Meanwhile, Virginia loses to Colorado State. Now, I wasn't a fan of either team getting into this tournament, but Colorado State proved its case as they throttle Virginia 67-42. And it begs the question, can we stop putting Virginia in this tournament just because of their name brand and just because they won a national title in 2019? They were a number one seed and lost to a 16 seed the year before. They lost to Furman last season. Virginia is a very overrated team, and I know that their record, 23-11, yeah, that was great. Virginia, like, the ACC was down this year. Virginia was in third place in the ACC, so they have an argument. But Pitt, Wake Forest, Syracuse, they didn't get into this tournament. So Colorado State will move on to take on Texas. So far, so good in my bracket. I am 2-0. As I did pick Wagner and Colorado State to advance. The play-in games today, starting with the 16 seeds, Grambling, their first ever NCAA tournament, taking on Montana State, that has made it the three last seasons in the Big Sky, as their record doesn't indicate the Bobcats and the type of team they are. I think Montana State wins this game. And then Colorado, Boise State. I'm actually picking Colorado in this game, and I'm also picking them to beat Florida. They are led by one of the top NBA prospects according to the 2024 mock NBA draft on NBA.com, Cody Williams. That is a player to watch out for tonight. And the leading scorer for the Colorado Buffaloes is KJ Simpson. I think Colorado beats Boise State, and I've got them beating Florida on Friday. I cannot wait for the March Madness tournament. And we also have the women's play-in games that's happening today. Presbyterian, Sacred Heart. The winner has got to play Iowa. And then you got Columbia and Vanderbilt, the two 12 seeds. Tomorrow, Arizona is taking on Auburn in the first four, and then UT Martin taking on Holy Cross. Speaking of UT Martin, that's a good segue into my next topic. I went to school in West Tennessee. UT Martin was about an hour and a half away from where I went to school. I went to a school that was an NAIA school in Henderson, Tennessee called Freed Hardeman University. And so UT Martin was the closest D1 school that was around. I know that Memphis was about 2 hours away, but I'm happy to say that my alma mater, Freed Hardeman University, one of the top-ranked teams in the NAIA, is in the Sweet 16, and they are playing in Kansas City. And that game, actually, you can listen to on 91.5. I used to work for the Route 91.5 when I was doing play-by-play for Freed Hardman. And you can watch it online. And it's a shame that I didn't get to have live streaming back 20 years ago. But I'm going to be rooting on for my alma mater. As they are a number one seed, I would be excited if they won an NAIA national championship. The girls team, which has been incredible for an entire decade, when I first started going there back in 1999, they won a championship in 2018. And back in 2017-2018, I wasn't doing sports talk radio, but I would post my opinions on social media on what I think about various sports topics. And I kind of got into some hot water talking about my alma mater back in 2017. They were overall number one seed. They were the best team in the NAIA. And they lose in the Final Four. Not the championship, the Final Four. They were the runners-up the year before to Oklahoma City. They lose to a team that they should have beat. And I admit I was a little critical of them. Well, I got ripped by former players, alumni, and current broadcasters. It really was humiliating for me. I had to backtrack and say, I apologize. I love my Freed Hardman Lady Lions. And all I was saying was, when are they going to win the big game? They came up short in just about every big game they have had in the last 20 years. I am thankful that I didn't have a sports talk radio show back then. 2017, I wasn't really doing a whole lot. I mean, I did have a YouTube channel that was really irrelevant at the time. But I am happy that I could state my opinion. Sometimes my opinion could be way off, and sometimes my opinion could be biased. But one thing is for sure, I'm going to support my alma mater no matter what. But I think that I've got to mend some relationships that I might have damaged. I might have burned some bridges back then. And I came out and I apologized to everybody. And, you know, it did feel great when they finally won the national championship in 2018. Maybe that was fuel to the fire. But I haven't had the best relationship with my alma mater. First of all, no coaches have agreed to come on my podcast. I have invited pretty much all the coaches at Freed Hardman. I actually reached out to the sports information director. I wanted to give Freed Hardman their flowers. I know I'm in Columbus, Georgia. That's in Henderson, Tennessee. It's a different market. But I wanted to shout out my alma mater because my audience is from Henderson as well, because a lot of people I went to Freed Hardman with knew me as the voice of Freed Hardeman Athletics, one of the voices of Freed Hardeman Athletics. I've had the other voice on my show numerous times, Rob Frazier. And of course, you know Gabe Reynolds. Not only was he a student coach for the Freed Hardeman basketball team, he also was an announcer as well. I am very fortunate that years have passed, but I do want to say good luck to the Lions coming up in the Sweet 16 game. I'm pulling for them. I hope that they bring home a championship. And I haven't been back to Henderson, Tennessee since 2011. I hope that they have a sign going into the town honoring the 2018 Lady Lions National Champions. All right, let's go ahead and move on. Baseball, we have the opening day next week. The Atlanta Braves have named a starter, Spencer Strider. He's going to go up against Zach Wheeler as the Braves will take on the Phillies. This is a rematch of the divisional playoff game the last two seasons. Let's go Braves. Let's get that win. Very big win. And right now, as we speak, we got the MLB World Tour, the Soul Series, and the Padres are taking on the Dodgers. The Giants pick up a big pitcher in free agency, Blake Snell, as he is joining the staff along with Logan Webb. I mean, the Giants already have Jorge Soler. They have Jung-Ho Kim. I think the Giants are going to compete in the NL West and give the Dodgers a run for their money. I cannot wait. Major League Baseball opening day next week. Let's bring it on. The Denver Nuggets proved why they are the best team in the West. They defeat the Minnesota Timberwolves 115-112 in Minnesota. And I know the Timberwolves were playing without Karl Anthony Towns, but if they get the number one seed in the Western Conference, it's over. It's over. Nobody is going to beat the Nuggets in that high altitude. But right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder tied with the Nuggets for first place in the Western Conference as they were led by the Joker. 35 points, 16 rebounds. He is the best player in the NBA. The Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, 30 points for the T-Wolves. I still think the T-Wolves are a good team. I just don't know if they get matched up with the Lakers, can they get out of the first round? The Mavericks get the 113-107 victory over the Spurs. Pelicans beat the Nets 104-91. Rockets over the Wizards 137-114. The Washington Wizards are just terrible. 11-58, as hopefully they can just focus on the lottery. The Magic have been the most surprised team in the NBA. They beat the Hornets. Right now, the Orlando Magic would be the number five seed. They are only a half game behind the Knicks. I can't wait for the NBA playoffs. They're about a month away. I am excited about that. I'm also excited about college football spring games happening in about a month. We got the Auburn spring game, the Georgia spring game. I'll try to break that down. I had Philip Jordan on the show yesterday. I hope to get him back on to talk about the spring games because the schedules are out. We don't have the times. I mean, Saturday, August the 24th, we kick things off with Florida State and Georgia Tech, followed by SMU, Nevada, New Mexico's taking on Montana State, and Hawaii taking on Delaware State. That's that week zero, and that is a good way to kick off college football. Kennesaw State is in the FBS in the Conference USA. I can't wait for that. I want to see how they're going to respond in the FBS. We got the Del McGee era at Georgia State. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. And then what's going to happen to the Pac-12? Right now, I'm looking at the Pac-12 schedule. They still have Washington State and Oregon State on the schedule. Are they going to dissolve? But we do know there is going to be a 14-team playoff in 2026. How is that 12-team playoff going to look? And I can't wait for that. But I'm not here to talk about college football. If you want to get all your college football news, just swing over to the Late Kick with Josh Pate. That is an incredible podcast when it comes to college football coverage 365. That is the premier podcast for college football, as Josh Pate does a fantastic job as he is now a national brand. Josh Pate has pretty much become a national brand for the last couple of years now, and he started right in Columbus, Georgia, with the press box with Bobby Z over a decade ago. And I look at his career, and I want to try to get there, but I don't want to mimic Josh Pate because he is an original. Nobody's doing anything like what he is doing. And I just want to be myself. I want to do a podcast where I just focus on the local sports to Columbus. I mean, my man Bryce Kuhn, who's also from Columbus, sits on the station. I mean, he focuses more on college football, Georgia Tech, LSU. But I'm trying to do something different. But I know that Bryce Kuhn's doing a fantastic job with the crowded booth as well. And I'm not here to try to get in a quarrel with other broadcasters from Columbus. I want to work together with these other broadcasters from Columbus because we all have the same common goal and we are all talented. Can I say that? Can I say that we are all talented and we all want to achieve the same thing? I know we can get into a spill about, oh, it's all about the kids and everything. I mean, it is. I mean, I appreciate what the kids do, especially in high school athletics, but I'm also trying to build my brand and make my name relevant when I'm live streaming these games on Georgia Alabama Sports Live or doing a live show with Thrip Barringer on the Georgia Alabama Sports Live show. Couple more sports notes before I get Tanya Chavez here on the show. Aaron Rodgers has got a new weapon as the Jets sign Mike Williams, the talented wide receiver from San Diego. I think that the New York Jets are going all in as Aaron Rodgers should be back from his Achilles injury. I talked about the Saints getting Chase Young. That is going to be a huge pickup for a Saints defense. That's what they're known for now. Jimmy Garoppolo, who's now a backup to the Rams. I mean, how long is Matthew Stafford going to go? And then one more thing. I want to throw it back to college basketball because Georgia is in the NIT. And really, by default, because all these teams like Memphis, St. John's, Ole Miss, they just decided they don't want to show up to the NIT. So Georgia defeated Xavier 78-76 in the first round. And Georgia 18-16. And the second round is going to be Saturday and Sunday. Well, I think it's about that time to bring on my next guest. Now, she has been a frequent guest on the Sports Beat for the past 2 years. She started out as just a soccer expert, which she still is, but Eric Taylor, probably one of the greatest soccer players to ever come out of Freed Harmon, introduced me to her as she was just a passionate sports fan that just wanted to have a voice. And I gave her that voice, and I really appreciate the relationship I've had with Tanya Chavez, the former New Mexico Lightning midfielder who is a huge sports fan. I wanted to get her on because her team, the New Mexico Lobos, are in the NCAA tournament as an 11 seed, and I think that they could do some really good damage in the tournament. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, I'm going to have Tanya Chavez coming on the show. You don't want to go anywhere. It is the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live, and we'll be right back.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control, repair, bond, best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Newnan, 770-954-9941.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tune in each Sunday morning right here on WQEE 99.1 FM for The Key for Help from a High with Bishop Daniel Hardaway Sr. of Redemptive Life Worship Center at 9 a.m. Hear the Word of God and soak it in. You can join us for our live Sunday service at 10 o'clock a.m. till 12:30 p.m. at Redemptive Life Worship Center at 2265 Highway 54 in Marlin, Georgia. Have a blessed week.
Welcome back to the Sports Beat with Richard Holderidge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. On the show, I've got a frequent guest. She is a very big sports fan, and I figured with her New Mexico Lobos in the NCAA tournament, what better guest than to have than Tanya Chavez. Tanya, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. I am happy to be here.
All right, well, I'm glad that you're on the show because, you know, of course, the brackets came out Sunday. I've already filled out my bracket. I already know who is going to win this whole thing. But we got to talk about your New Mexico Lobos, an 11th seed. And a lot of people like them as possibly getting to the Sweet 16. I mean, I actually do think that New Mexico... Well, apparently, I've got New Mexico beating Clemson, and a lot of people like them beating Baylor and getting to the Sweet 16. I'm actually looking at my bracket. I do have them beating Clemson, but I have Baylor winning in the second round. I mean, how does your bracket looking like for New Mexico?
I mean, I too have them beating Clemson in that first game and then not getting past Baylor, and I'm not trying to down my Lobos, but I mean, I'm just looking at Baylor's season, Big 12, and we had a good season. I'm going to say that, but I don't know about our strength level matching up against Baylor, but I do believe that we can get past Clemson. However, I am hoping we do upset and go into the Sweet 16. We have made some noise, and I, like you said, I know people are rooting for us and have us going a little bit further than maybe expected.
Tanya, we got to talk about the Mountain West, because the Mountain West, surprisingly, the Mountain West ended up getting six teams in this tournament. Utah State, Nevada, Boise State, San Diego State, who went to the championship last year, New Mexico, and Colorado State, who is playing in the play-in game. Actually, while we are doing this show, they're about to take on Virginia in the play-in game as we speak. Are you surprised that the Mountain West got six teams in the NCAA tournament?
I am a little surprised. And it's, I mean, the thing is the Mountain West is usually not respected enough, and they usually do not get sometimes no more than three. So I'm very surprised. However, I'm like happy that that happened. The Mountain West Conference has gotten stronger, especially with the Pac-12 pretty much not being around after this season. This is the last season with the Pac-12. I think the Mountain West will be the strongest West Coast conference going forward. But we're just making more noise. We're getting more national televised games. And this, you know, athletes are wanting to come to the Mountain West Conference and play in that conference. And I think it's getting a lot stronger.
Well, we're going to start with the Mountain West teams. I mean, I'm looking up and down my bracket, and you know, I've got some of the Mountain West teams here. Well, here's the thing, is I need to get my eyes checked because the bracket that I have in front of me is very tiny. All right, let's start with San Diego State, a number 5 seed. They went to the championship last year. Unfortunately, I have them losing to UAB, and then UAB playing Auburn in the second round. And then we also have another Mountain West team, Nevada. I've got Nevada beating Dayton, but I got them losing to Arizona in the second round. Let's take a look at, I've got Colorado State beating Virginia, but I got Texas beating Colorado State in the second round. And then, let's see, Utah State, I got them losing to TCU in the first round, and I got Colorado beating Boise State in the play-in game. So, out of the six teams that are in the Mountain West, two of them were the last four in. So, you really only have four Mountain West teams that are in the field of 64. You've got Colorado State and Boise State that are in the play-in games. But how are the Mountain West teams in your bracket? I mean, I know that you got New Mexico winning their game against Clemson, but how are the other Mountain West teams doing?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you filled out more than one bracket. I filled out two. So one of them.
I just filled out one.
Yeah.
I'm a one bracket guy.
Okay. I like to mess around a little bit, but I know that, you know, the famous 5-12 upset, you got San Diego State and UAB. I don't have that as an upset. I have San Diego State winning that game. And then I have them losing to UConn. I mean, UConn is UConn, but, you know, number one overall. But as far as the other side, when I go down to Nevada, I have Nevada getting out of Dayton. I think they can beat Dayton. However, they won't beat Arizona. Arizona is actually my other team that I cheer for, like, wholeheartedly. And I just don't have them beating Arizona at all. And then on the other side, I do have Utah State not making it past the first round either. And then the play-in games, I mean, of course, I think Colorado State may have a chance of winning tonight over Virginia, and then Boise State as well. I don't think they'll get past the first game after that, or the second game on their end. But you never know. I mean, like you said, last year San Diego State went to the championship, and I think they can make some noise. I believe they're a good team. That Mountain West Conference title game the other day was extremely fun to watch. It was very entertaining. It was toe-to-toe and just came down to the very end. So I just think if they didn't have UConn right there, I think they would even go further, to be honest. They're a good team.
Tanya, I got Auburn beating UConn in the Sweet 16. I think Auburn has got a deep team. Coach Bruce Pearl, Janiyah Broome is fantastic. I think that UConn is a little overrated. The Big East only got three teams in the tournament. And I know they're the defending NCAA champions. They don't have Jordan Hawkins. And I think that UConn has caught a lot of breaks. Last year, Arkansas beats Kansas in the second round. UConn, as a number four seed, ends up playing Arkansas in the Sweet 16, and they get by. Some of their championship years, they have beaten like an eighth-seeded Kentucky. They beat Butler. They've beat a Georgia Tech team in 04 that was just happy to be there. Yes, they do have five national championships, but when have they played like a true blue blood in the Final Four or in the championship to win a championship, with the exception of 1999 when they beat Duke? But they were a number one seed. I mean, UConn has backdoored their way into the last couple of national championships. They were a number three seed one year. They were a number seven seed. And they've had some guard play in 2011. They had a player named Kemba Walker who was just red hot. Same with 2014. Shabazz Napier just caught fire. And then last year with Jordan Hawkins. And then Obadengo was the other player. Well, they're not on the UConn Huskies this year. But you do have Stephon Castle. He is projected to be a lottery pick. And then you have the player that is expected to be player of the year. That is Tristan Newton. But I think that UConn is vulnerable. And I think that Auburn is going to beat him in the Sweet 16, because Auburn was definitely underseeded. They should have been at least a number three seed because they won the SEC tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. They were underseeded, and sometimes I don't understand the committee with their seeding, but it is what it is. And you know, being the overall number one team in the tournament, it's, you know, you do have a lot on your back, and they are the defending champions. And everybody that I know is picking UConn to go all the way and be back-to-back champions again. But this is March Madness. Anything can happen. And I don't have Auburn beating them. I do have them continuing on. It just gets a little crazy down there at the end. I was a little bit scared to even have Purdue go pretty far. I mean, last year they lost in the first game, I think they got upset by a 16 or 15. I can't remember what number Purdue was. One or
16
two.
Seed. They lost to Ferry Dickinson.
Yeah. So I just, you know, anything can happen. I actually don't think UNC is going to get as far as people think, because they got that number one seed too. And I think they're going to get exposed along the way as well. And the other unfortunate thing is Arizona has let me down like multiple years. Last year they got upset as well. And I mean, they're supposed to go all the way to the title last year. They were expected to go that far. But I still have faith with them. I have faith with them going further than they did last year. And hopefully they can get it together this year. But yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult to choose who's going to go, but that's the fun of it. That's why I love this time of the year.
Remember last year, Arizona lost to a 15 seed mm-hmm. Princeton. Do you think that they could lose to the 15 seed Long Beach State?
I mean, I'm going to say no. I think it was a different team last year. I feel like we have a different team this year. We have Love. Ballo, he's doing better. Larson, Arizona's got some good players on that team, and I don't think they will lose again. I hope not. But I think they're gonna get pretty far. I mean, you know, I have them going to the Elite Eight, and so maybe further. You know, my other bracket, I have them going all the way to the Final Four, but I don't think they will. I think they're going to be stronger. I know they didn't do well in the tournament either. In the Pac-12, they lost. But, you know, I think, you know, coach is going to have them ready this time. And I feel like they're not going to let that happen again.
Well, Tanya, I'm going in a different direction. I've got North Carolina winning the whole thing. And here's why. They were preseason number one last year. They missed out on the NCAA tournament completely. The year before, they were kind of a Cinderella story. They got to the championship, and they lost to Kansas, but they kind of caught some breaks. They beat St. Peter's in the Elite Eight. They played Duke in the Final Four, and they ended up losing to Kansas. But they've got R.J. Davis, a very good guard, and then Armando Bacot. I mean, they got two outstanding collegiate players. I look at their bracket. I mean, they're going to play Wagner because Wagner won tonight. And then they're probably going to play Michigan State. I think that Michigan State gets by Mississippi State. And one thing about Tom Izzo, it doesn't matter what seed he is. He could be a double-digit seed, and Michigan State's going to do well in this tournament. Tom Izzo gets his team to play hard in the NCAA tournament. And what Michigan State does is they stack the schedule. Sometimes they're 17-13. And because of their strength of schedule, they get into the tournament. But I think North Carolina, they will survive and advance in the second round. That game against Michigan State is going to be super close. But if North Carolina can prevail, I like them against Alabama. I think they match up well with either Baylor or Arizona, whoever is facing them in the Elite Eight. And I think that North Carolina has a clear path to the Final Four, which I've got Illinois beating Auburn in the Elite Eight. So that's my Final Four right there. North Carolina, Illinois on the other side of the bracket. I got Houston, and I got a surprise. I got a number 7 seed, Texas, that lost to Miami in the Elite Eight. Now, they're in a very tough Big 12, especially now that Houston is in that conference. I think Texas beats Tennessee, and they beat Purdue to get to the Final Four, where I have my national championship. North Carolina beats Houston, and North Carolina wins their fourth national championship in this century. I mean, do you think I'm far off on that, or do you think that that's actually not bad? I mean, I know a lot of people just go different ways with their brackets. I mean, I could be wrong. North Carolina could lose to Michigan State in the second round.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, you got your stats up and, you know, you've done a lot of watching and research and, you know, the players in that conference. I don't get a chance to watch those conferences too much, you know, the ACC, the Big East, any of those, they just don't show them as much down here in New Mexico. So that's why I'm not too familiar with UNC or any, you know, Duke or any of those guys. But anything can happen. I like your bracket. It sounds very interesting. And the thing is I always tell people that really don't know what they're doing. I just say, you know, go with your gut instinct, because sometimes it's better when people don't know about it and they fill it out and they end up doing well. On that side, I think I have Houston in one of my brackets going to the final game as well. And then I have Purdue making it to the Final Four. But some part of me doesn't trust Purdue either, because they had a good start to the season and then they did, you know, pretty good after. I mean, they don't have too many losses, but you think about last year, them losing in the first game. You just never know. The other team, you know, Duke has always busted my bracket too. I've chosen them to go pretty far in recent years and past years, and they always bust my bracket for some reason. But I love these underdog teams when they win. I love it. I think it's great.
History might be on Purdue's side, because the last time that, you know, Purdue lost to a number 16 seed last year. So before that, the team that lost to a number 16 seed was Virginia in 2018. They lost to Maryland, Baltimore, Shore. 2019, Virginia wins the championship. Maybe, just maybe, Purdue might follow suit. But we just don't know. I mean, I'm watching college basketball in November, and yet my bracket could be busted after the first day. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got play-in games going on right now. I mean, the only play-in game that I've got where I've got the winner of the play-in game, I've got Colorado beating Florida in the first round. So Colorado plays Boise State tomorrow. They could lose to Boise State. My bracket's not going to be completely busted, but we had a 16 seed beat a 1 last year. We had a 15 seed beat a 2 last year. It was like the first time in a long time, as I can remember, that all five seeds, the 4-5 seeds all won against the 5-12 matchup. I mean, that rarely happens. I've decided to pick 3 out of the 4-12 seeds to win. So I got UAB beating San Diego State. I've got James Madison beating Wisconsin. I got McNeese beating Gonzaga. I've got St. Mary's, who's a number 5 seed. I got them beating Grand Canyon. A lot of people like Grand Canyon. A lot of people think that that's the number 12 seed. And I don't have a crazy bracket. I'm not picking any 16 or 15 seeds. The 14 seeds, I mean, if there is a 14 seed that I would pick, it's probably Colgate over Baylor. But I think the 3 seeds advance. And, you know, I could be completely wrong after next week. I think that the 13 seeds, a lot of people like Yale. They like Yale to upset Auburn. I don't. I think Auburn is too strong and they get by Yale. Vermont over Duke, I mean, that could be a vulnerable 13-4. What about Samford over Kansas? I think Kansas was overseeded. They should have been at least a 6 seed because they had 9 losses this year. They finished in 6th place in the Big 12 and they lost to Cincinnati in their first Big 12 conference tournament game. The other, Charleston over Alabama. I mean, every now and then you'll have a 13 beat a 4. Which 13 seed do you think has the best chance to upset a number 4 this week?
Oh, man. See, that one's pretty tough. But I kind of, you know, like I said with Duke, I would probably, if I had to do one, I would choose Vermont over Duke out of all of them. And it's just because, you know, Duke is up and down. They've been up and down since Coach K left. So that's the one that I would probably choose as an upset. I think Kansas can get past Stanford. But I agree with you after that. I'm not too sure. You know, Kansas, I don't think they had the best season. And yeah, they didn't do well in the Big 12 tournament. You know, those 9 losses. I mean, there's some losses that they took this season that just didn't make sense. But yeah, I would choose that, the Vermont over Duke, if anything.
Tanya, besides New Mexico, we talked about New Mexico, you being from New Mexico, big Lobos fan, which other double-digit seed could make it to at least the Sweet 16 and possibly the Elite Eight?
Oh, okay. I'm trying to...
And it could be a 10 seed. That's a double-digit seed.
Yeah. It's tough, you know. That's
well. Let's start with the 10 seeds. Okay, so you got Drake. Drake.
Yeah.
They're playing Washington State. I got Drake beating Washington State. I just got them losing to Iowa State. Iowa State could be vulnerable, but especially if they lose to South Dakota State, I think that Drake could get by and get to the Sweet 16. All right, let's take a look. The play-in game between Boise State and Colorado. I got Colorado beating Florida, which means they would have to beat Boise State in the play-in game. All right, so we got Virginia, Colorado State. They're actually playing right now. I actually got Texas winning that game because I got Texas going to the Final Four. I got myself a crazy bracket. And then Nevada. I got them beating Dayton but not getting past Arizona. I think New Mexico has the best shot out of all the double-digit seeds. But the other number 11 seeds, looking at my bracket, Duquesne, I got them beating BYU but losing to Illinois. NC State, I got them losing to Texas Tech because NC State, 5 games in 5 days, they were a bubble team. I think they're just running out of juice, and I think Texas Tech wins that game. And then finally, I got Oregon beating Clemson. Oregon is a number 11 seed. I think I'm going to say Oregon has the best shot as all the double-digit seeds to make it to the Sweet 16 because I think they beat South Carolina and they could possibly beat Creighton.
Yeah, I mean, down there, I was just looking at that too. I have Oregon getting past South Carolina too and Creighton. And the reason I say that is because I've watched the Oregon games and they look strong. They can, you know, they can change the game. They can shoot from the arc. They can go down low. They have a good team, and I just feel like they come out and play, you know. So I agree. I forgot about Oregon. I think they would be a good double team or double seeded team to surprise folks and just go on in this tournament.
One more team I want to throw out there that could make it to the Sweet 16 is a 12 seed. I think James Madison. I got them beating Wisconsin, but I could see them upsetting Duke in the second round and making it to the Sweet 16. Other than that, I mean, there's not really a double-digit seed that I would be shocked if a South Dakota State ends up winning. Or it's really going to be shocking. And with the brackets, you just never know. And so this is the biggest mystery. I cannot wait until Thursday and Friday. I'm going to be glued in front of my phone watching March Madness all day Thursday and Friday, and it is going to be on.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I have to work, but I'll be, you know, looking at my phone every chance I get. And the Lobos play at 1 o'clock our time here on Friday, so I won't be able to even see any of that game. And then Arizona play at noon, I think, on Thursday, so I won't be able to see those. I was hoping it'd be on the evening, but unfortunately, my luck was not there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I really, really hope, you know, it'd be awesome if the Lobos can meet Baylor and get past Baylor and just get into that Sweet 16. And it would be great for the program. You know, I think they deserve it. They've worked hard. They were in and out of the rankings. They came out of the Mountain West Conference tournament. And they played all those, four games in a row. They were tired. Dan got sick. He didn't even play much in that final game. And they couldn't even get anything down low. Joseph and Topin they just couldn't get the ball to them. I mean, we had House and what's his name? I can't think of his name. The other guy that has the dad that was in the NBA. They were the ones that were carrying the team. They were shooting. I'm happy we won. I was getting scared for a while because we just couldn't get the ball to our big guys. But I just hope we come out with a bang and we do something in this tournament. We haven't been to the tournament, I think, since 2014, so it's nice to be back.
And also, Tanya, the women's tournament. I'm excited about the women's tournament, and that's mainly because of the star power of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Paige Buchers and what South Carolina has been, just absolutely dominating. And I'm just a little disappointed that LSU is in the same bracket as Iowa, and they could possibly meet up in an Elite Eight game.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I was filling out that bracket, and I was like, man, that stinks, you know, because you don't want to see that too early. You want to see that later in the tournament. I have South Carolina winning my women's bracket. I just feel like they're just really, really good. But watching Caitlin Clark all season has been amazing. I'm excited for her to go to the WNBA. I think she's going to do well. I think she made a good decision in going now instead of waiting for another year. I think she had another year to be in college, and I think everyone's excited for her. I can't wait for that to start as well. So, I mean, it's this, you know, now today's the day. Everything started today. We got the men playing games today, tomorrow, and then the women go. So super excited for it all. And you can't not talk about the women's side of it, because it's fun to watch. It's getting bigger. It's getting more interesting. And before I would be able to predict all the games, and now it's just like anything, you know, never know.
Tanya, let's switch gears, because we've got to talk about your Philadelphia Eagles. NFL free agency, they end up getting Saquon Barkley. And I think that the Philadelphia Eagles, which have a very explosive offense, they just couldn't stop anybody last year. And they lose a leader on the D-line in Fletcher Cox. And then Jason Kelce retires on the offensive line. Do you feel, as a Philadelphia Eagles fan, that this is the year where it's Super Bowl or bust, or Nick Sirianni is going to be fired? Because they got a new defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio. They got a new offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. What does that tell you? That tells you that they don't have faith in their coach, and they feel like if they change the coordinators, that's really the only way that the coach can keep his job. Because the coach, if he's elite, he's supposed to elevate everybody around him. And I just think with the meltdown that the Eagles had last year, especially in the playoffs, that Nick Sirianni is definitely on the hot seat.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. He's definitely on the hot seat. Like I said before, this past season, we just looked weird. We started off really strong, and then it didn't look right after a while. And yeah, all these changes are saying something. I was kind of surprised about Kellen Moore. He came from the Cowboys. We definitely needed a new defensive coordinator, because our defense did not look good. I think it was, the 10th game, what I said last time, is when we started just, going downhill. I mean, Jalen Hurts didn't look himself. It just seemed like something was going on in that locker room that we still don't know what happened. But, yeah, there's a lot of changes. I mean, we got Saquon Barkley, Swift left, and I was a little bit – I was kind of happy about Saquon and kind of not, just because he does get injured a lot. But then I was just looking, I think – it might suit him well to be with the Eagles. I think his style of play fits ours. So I think it's going to go well, and I'm excited to see what happens. The thing about him is you can tell he gives it his all. He tries really hard. He loves the game. He wants to be out there. He wants to make things happen, and that's what I like. I want somebody on our team that has that kind of heart.
Tanya, as always, I appreciate you being on the show. Have fun as we get ready for March Madness, and I can't wait to get this tournament started, and hopefully my bracket is not too busted.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fun of it. I you have an interesting bracket, and I'm glad you shared it with me, and I'm going to be looking upon again, see who's winning, who's losing, and how much both of our brackets could possibly get busted. But man, I'm looking forward to it. It's great. Like I said, I'm glad that there's games on tonight, even though they're the playing games, but it's still the tournament. You know, people don't take those games seriously, but I mean, that Wagner and Howard game came down to the last shot. So, I mean, you know, awesome. This is awesome. March Madness is awesome.
And a score update in the first: Colorado State leading Virginia 18-12. Nice. I didn't like the fact that Virginia got into this tournament. They were a 4 seed last year. They lost to Furman by 1 point. And Virginia, with the exception of that championship in 2019, they have overachieved. I mean, they were a number one seed, and they lose to a 16 seed. And I just don't think Virginia was deserving of getting a bid in this tournament. I thought maybe Indiana State or St. John's or Oklahoma would have been better. But, hey, I think that they'll be out, and Colorado State will end up playing Texas in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm rooting for Colorado State, Boise State in these play-in games. They're Mountain West Conference teams, and I agree with you, you know. I hope we pull it off. The Mountain West Conference just shows well. That's what I always look forward to. And, you know, the more respect we get, the better. And I still think we're going to be the strongest conference in the West going forward, especially without the Pac-12. And, yeah, just looking forward to it, see if they hold off for tonight. And, you know, can't wait.
Also, breaking news, Kansas' Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough Jr. is going to be out.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So, with that being said, I think Samford ends up upsetting. Oh, actually, no, they are actually going to have Dickinson. It's Kevin McCullough that's going to be out. I still think Samford upsets Kansas.
Yeah,
Get ready for Buckyball. Samford's going to upset Kansas. Yeah. See, I actually filled out my bracket in pen. I should have filled it out in pencil because I'm ready to. I didn't do an online bracket, but I'm ready to scratch out Kansas and put Samford. It's not too late to change my bracket.
No, I say until Thursday when the game starts, the first game, then you can't change it no more. But yeah,
nope. Cannot change it. Cannot like. Oh, well, you know, I'm just going to redo my bracket when we have the Sweet 16. I mean, yeah, sometimes people will start the bracket after the Sweet 16. No, you can't do that. You got to stick to a bracket and stay with it for the entire tournament.
Yeah, agreed. That's why you start from the beginning. It's taking the fun out of it. You start at the Sweet 16.
Yeah, that's not fun, especially if it's chalk. Anyway, thanks again, Tanya, for being on the show. Would love to get you back on. Just always great having you on the show, just talking sports. I know that you're very passionate, and you're more than welcome to come on any time to talk sports.
Yeah, just let me know. You know I'm game. You know, baseball starting up, next
week?
That's
right. Yes. So
I'm a huge Angels fan. I love baseball and got the Olympics this summer, so it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and you were my official correspondent for the Women's World Cup last year. You know, I appreciate all your knowledge and just insight, and just looking forward to having you back.
Sounds good. Yeah, you let me know. I'll be back anytime.
All right. Tanya Chavez, everybody, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. Don't forget, you can download the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hope everybody has a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Wishbone Fried Chicken is back in a brand new location, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan. Same great taste, the best chicken around, fish dinners. Open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dine in, take out. It's Wishbone Fried Chicken, right next door to their former location, bringing you the best chicken around. So great. Wishbone Fried Chicken, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A, here in Noonan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive Time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Help protect your family from flu this season by taking three easy steps. First, get yourself and your family a flu shot. It's quick and can protect you all season. Second, take everyday actions to help prevent the spread of germs like flu. Cover your cough, stay home from work or school if you're sick, and wash your hands often. Third, there are drugs that can treat flu illness. These work best when started early. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
At Jersey Mike's, they slice your order fresh right in front of you. And let me tell you, watching that can send a rush of emotions through a person. Excitement, impatience, baby-like wonder, indecisive, anticipatory chewing, nervous pacing, happy claps, and finally, jealousy, because that's this guy's sub. I should order one. Good idea.
Sliced right in front of you. It's a Jersey Mike's thing. A sub above.
When you really need something to get you through a long graduation ceremony, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are there to give you a thrill. With varieties like Trolley Sour Bursting Crawlers, the worms' soft and chewy texture, surprising flavor combinations, and neon bright colors will give everyone a reason to celebrate. So when you want to notch the festivities up a couple degrees, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are the perfect way for everyone to celebrate. Shop now for any trolley that crawls your way.
This is Austin Black, and I am the host of Behind the Tunes. Have you ever wondered about the stories behind your favorite songs and the journeys of those that sing them? Well, each week, we invite you to go behind the tunes and step into the stories behind your favorite Christian artists that shape the landscape of today's music.
Hey everybody, this is Andy Crispin. Join me this week for worship as I play 2 hours of the best in modern worship music from churches and worship leaders around the world. And this week, my special guest is Blake Goss of New Spring Worship.
See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making ways in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. For us, that scripture came alive because he did a new thing actually in an old place.
You don't want to miss a moment of this week's worship with me, your host, Andy Crispin.
WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, home of Southern sports and talk, Noonan, Sharpsburg, Franklin.
The Baxters have a new first book. From number one New York Times best-selling novelist Karen Kingsbury, author of life-changing fiction, comes The Baxters, a prequel. The heart-pounding story of Carrie Baxter's wedding. Amidst family tension and the worst storm Bloomington, Indiana has seen in a decade. The Baxters, by America's favorite inspirational storyteller, Karen Kingsbury. Visit KarenKingsbury.com for more information. The Baxters, available now wherever books are sold.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.